Thank you, Pastor. Somebody there, praise the Lord. Are you there? I said, praise the Lord. Have you decided to follow Jesus? No turning back. No turning back. I have decided, and I'm following Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Everybody sing. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Have you decided? I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Father, we come and we have decided we'll follow you to the very end. We know everything we need from this place on until the final day you'll give to everyone. And I pray that today, as we decide, we're following Jesus, and we've made up our minds, we're not going to turn back. We're asking, Lord, every blessing you rain from on high upon everyone in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We know it's done. And today will be the day of the fullness of the blessings of God upon everyone.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Another amen.
Amen.
Now, I want you to give me an amen. I will take back to the headquarters.
Amen.
God bless you. You can sit down. Now we're coming to the final message of the GCK for the beginning of the year. Now, I have been very much in thoughts, not just today, not just this last week. I've been thinking about what God does and the way God moved in the Bible, in Bible times, until our time. And I've been asking myself, how can we have the outpouring of great blessing that everybody around will see? And I'm going to share quite a lot with you in the scriptures. I'm talking to you on a new year by the new anointing. A new year. I know we always say that, and that's part of the things I've been wondering about. When we say a new year, how is it the people, they come to the GCK, they come to a revival meeting, and then we pray and pray and pray that we want a new year. And I discover that many people just pray and they do not have what it takes to have a new year. Year, that is Y-E-A-R. That's yearning honestly after renewal. You yearn, you desire, you want, you are passionate about it. You yearn honestly after that recovery. You want to recover everything available. And if it's your health, you yearn earnestly after that recovery of your health. If it is restoration, that you know what you had been in the past, all time, the height you reached, and the length you got to, and the great, great manifestation in your life. But you've gone down, you've slowed down, you're sliding back a little bit, not a backslider, but you're not like you used to be. The love you had for the Lord, and the passion you had for the things of God, and the spontaneous drive that is just there all the time is no more there. How are you going to have a new year of this new anointing? You must yearn earnestly after that renewal or restoration. You will know that even though you might not have been born again, but there is something in your heart. You read about other people who have made it in life, and you want to be there, and you say, this new year will be my year. But why is it we go on month after month, week after week, and that thing we felt we will aim at, we didn't get? There is yearning, honestly, after renewal. And that's what I call you to today. Don't just have crusade. In fact, the pity sometimes is that there are believers that come to the crusade, and they think that everything we say, everything we preach, is just for those people who are inviting. And after such a crusade, that the anointing breaks every yoke, they're still there, just the same as they were. There might even be Christian workers, Christian leaders, pastors, preachers. But you know, if we're going to have the new anointing, we have to have a yearning. And a yearning is earnest after the revival or refinement of the Lord. That's why as we come here today, and we're looking at this final message of a new year by the new anointing. I come to Deuteronomy chapter 11. I'm reading from verse 11. But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. That's what makes the year new. That's what makes your life new. That's what brings fruit in your life that wasn't there before, because you're receiving the rain from heaven. The farmer can plant and the sower can sow, but if the rain of heaven does not fall on what we plant, what we sow, all will be dry season again, no fruit. But if we're going to have a new year and we yearn earnestly after that revival or restoration, there's rain from heaven. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, it says, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. A land that God, the God of heaven, specially cares for. He singles that man out because that man, that woman, is thirsty. I don't want to remain where I am. But there is thirst, there is hunger, and there is the earnestness after something new. Because of that, God, the Lord thy God, careth for that land, for that person. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, always upon it. And there is no high day and low day, and there is no sunny day and such day, but always, because of your desire, because of your yearning after a renewal, a refreshing, after a restoration, total restoration, like we're seeing the days of Elijah, the days of Ezekiel, let that day come. And there is yearning. We're not just singing, we want it. And in our heart, in our soul, there is a drive, a passion. That's how it comes. And it says, from the beginning of the year, even unto the end of the year. That's what we want. That's what God does. The faith that he places in our heart, and the confidence, the trust he plants in our heart, from the beginning of the year until the very end of the year. Look at verse 21. In verse 21, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord swear unto your fathers. Look at this. To give them as the days of heaven upon earth. That's the promise of God, and that's what he wants us to yearn for, to desire, and to have it dried within us, so that we have the days of heaven upon the earth. And that's why we're talking today, and I'm talking to believers, I'm talking to unbelievers, I'm talking to, you know, those who have come into the kingdom, I'm talking about those who are just to come, I'm talking to everyone to have that earnest yearning after the renewal, and then we have the days of heaven upon the earth. A new year by the new anointing. Three things we're looking at. Number one, a better life in a better year. This year will be better for you. Amen. Better life. What kind of life? I'll show you in the scriptures. Number two is a blessed life through a blessed year. A blessed year, that you look around every day of the year, and every week of the year, every month of the year, you say, this is a blessed year. How? But again, you must have the yearning earnestly after that refreshing, that your life is refreshed, and you are not up and down, you are not here and there, you are not tired and weak, you are not confused and I'm looking for comfort again, but all through the year, and you have this blessed life in a blessed year. We're looking at number three here. Number three is the beautiful life. There's no stain there. There's no regret there. There's no remorse. There's just a beautiful life. That's what Christ does. What do you think? That Christ came from heaven and he came to give us the same life the unbelievers are living. They're not happy. They're sad. They're sorrowful. They're down. They're disgruntled. They're disunited. They're scattered in their lives. What did Christ come to do? To give us the same life that those some believers are carrying, and they're crying? No. It comes to give us a beautiful life in a bountiful year. Plentiful year. This year will be prosperous for you. This year will be great for you. In Jesus' name. Because you hold the year yearning earnestly after renewal. Welcome to number one. Number one is a better life in a better year. Ezekiel chapter 36, read from verse 11. And I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring fruit. And I will settle you after your old estates. I will settle you. Your married woman there you desire to marry, he will settle you. Amen. A married man you want to marry, he will settle you. Amen. The jobless person there carrying a great good certificate, but there's no job, the job has now come. Amen. The Lord will settle you. You don't know where to say, whether here or there, and you are here and there, confused. This year, the Lord will settle you. And he says, look at this, and I will do better unto you than at your beginnings, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. He says, he'll do better things for us. I begin to think now, what better things do I need? Better, better, better. So that I have this better life. After a better, in the better year. You must yearn for something. Is it renewal? Or maybe repentance. You're still there in the old life. And you're wondering, if I stay here, until all the darkness cover me, if I stay here until all the demons hover around and they clamp me down, if I stay here and all the defeat of the previous year still they abide with me, how is this life and this year going to be? And so you yearn earnestly after repentance. I must repent. I must call upon the Lord. That's what is going to make the year a better year for you. It will happen in Jesus' name. Look at verse 25. In verse 25, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. Now, if he says he shall be clean, it means as that now he looks at you, and you're not clean. Your language of sin language, you're not clean. Your life, the private life, the private thought, God sees you, you're not clean. But he says, I will sprinkle clean water upon you. And he says, and ye shall be clean. And if you yearn for that, honestly, and you say, I'm not just in the crusade just to join the people. I yearn honestly after a rebirth, when you are born again, and when the Lord himself sprinkles the clean water upon you. It's not water baptism. It's the minister that does that. This is God himself sprinkling the clean water upon you. And it cleans up your mind, cleans your conscience, cleans your emotion, and even cleans your brain. The remembrance of the things you've done that is haunting you all along, it cleanses everything away. You come, you repent before the Lord, and you tell the Lord, life has been so bad. The only thing I remember, there are dirty things, there are evil things, there are things that haunt me. And I regret I did that. And now I'm yearning earnestly after this repentance, and I turn. And the Lord said that when you do that, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. You will be clean. Somebody there is saying you will be clean. Because you know, uncleanness disturbs everything in our lives. You're praying and the uncleanness comes back. you of all people, you're asking for that. Uncleanness hinders our prayer, hinders our relationship with God. Uncleanness hinders even our personality, because in your personality, when you want to stand and be firm and move like a real militant manly person, you know, the thing comes, uncleanness weakens you, you collapse. But Christ will come, and if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive all unrighteousness and to cleanse us from all that unrighteousness. That's what he promised. He says, from all your idols, I will cleanse you. Look at verse 26. In verse 26, a new heart also will I give you. I've told you before, and I'm saying it again, it's in the Bible, that the heart, out of the heart comes all the issues of life. And what the condition of the heart is the condition of the life. The weakness of the heart is the weakness of the life. And the instability of the heart is the instability of that life. The failure of the heart is the failure of the life. If we're going to have a new life, a better life, we must have a new heart, a better heart. And it says, a new heart also will I give you, and the new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. The stony heart. You know, elders say, oh, you're talking to that person, you're pouring water on stone. Doesn't on the back of the calabash. It doesn't enter, doesn't do anything there. When we have stony heart, we hear a lot, but everything passes over our shoulder. Because the things we hear, they do not get into, they do not sink into the stony heart. And God says, you can't do anything about that. A sinner has a stony heart. You can give instruction upon instruction. You can bring revelation after revelation. You can bring encouragement after encouragement. You can quote promise after promise. The stony heart does not allow the promises, the power, the goodness of God to sink in. And it says, I know the problem. If you're going to have a new year, what made the old year, what made it that old year was that the stone did not accommodate and did not allow and did not have the water, the knowledge, the revelation to sink in. But God said, I know that's the problem. I want to give you a better life. And in that better life, I have to give you a better heart, which makes up the better year. And it says, I'll take that out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Say amen.
Amen.
You know, there are people that go along and they say, an old dog cannot learn a new trick. Maybe for those who make up their minds, they are not yearning, they are not desiring, they are not passionate about having a total change, a total transformation. Sure, they say, talking to me, go talk to them, go talk to them. I'm already 40. And they say, a fool at 40 is a fool forever. Don't believe that. Moses was 80 years of age when God called him above 40. Don't believe all those things that people say. That's what kills people, kills their yearning and kills their desire. They say, look at my age now, what I didn't have up to this time, how can I have? God said it doesn't matter your age, it doesn't matter who you are, you might be as old as 80, like Moses. But it says, he'll take this stony heart out of you, so that the revelation of the word can sink in, so that the demand of the Lord can sink in into your life. And he says, I, whatever your age, will give you an heart of flesh. Look at verse 37. In verse 37, thus says the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will yet be inquired of by the people who are hearing the word of God, and they'll come to me and say, do this for me. And that's the reason why you will have to pray at the end of the message. And if you see yourself, you're a Christian, but you're just like an average Christian, a so-so Christian, a church-going Christian, and life is stale. Nothing new, nothing lively, nothing dynamic, nothing revelatory. You come to the Lord and you say, what you said you will do, you will sprinkle upon me clean water, and I shall be clean. And then you said, this stony heart that does not sink in, receive the word of God, I hear, I forget, because it's like they pour water on the stone, just splashes up. I want a change of heart. The Lord tonight will give you a change of heart in Jesus' name. Aquarium, amen. Number two, we're looking at a blessed life throughout a blessed year. How do we have a blessed life in this blessed year? Open your Bible if you have a Bible there. Matthew chapter 5. If you don't have a Bible, I'll read it to you. Remember once again that the year, for the year to be a blessed year, there's something you have to do. You can't just say, okay, I'm expecting it will be a blessed year. Look at that word again. Year. That's yielding entirely after repentance. After you repent, that's not the end. Now you come to the Lord and you say, I've repented. Now I yield entirely, completely. I yield this life to you. Make of this life what this life should be. You have repented, you have been restored, then come and say, I yield. I'll not be struggling with the Lord anymore. The Lord is trying to fashion a new tune, a new instrument, a new personality. And then you are struggling. No, you yield entirely. And as you yield entirely unto the Lord after your repentance, after your restoration, then we know it is going to be a year blessed for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Better, amen. Matthew chapter 5. I'm reading from verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You notice a man or a woman, and you see that he needs some things in his life. And because he doesn't have what he ought to have to take care of himself, to take care of his home, to take care of his children. And because you're a good-natured person, you call him and you stretch out an envelope containing money. And the man says, what's that? Oh, you said, I just thought about it to give you some money. He said, go away with your money. Who do you think I am? Am I a beggar? No, I don't need your money. The man is so proud that the poor man, you want to help him, he won't even receive help. You want to lift him up. He said, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to lift you up. You think I'm so impotent, I cannot lift up myself? You invite him, come and come over here because something great is happening. And you say, you think I'm a pagan? I have my own church too. Now, the fellow is poor, but he doesn't want to acknowledge that one is proud in spirit, but the one who is poor in spirit, he hears the word of God, and the pointing of the prophet is unto him, thou art the man. And he collapses, he cries, and he says, yes, I am. I have sinned. That's the poor person. He's poor in spirit, internally, and he's willing to confess before the Lord, here I am, poor in spirit. But you talk to a person who is not praying and who cannot pray, who does not know how to pray, and he says, I'm a Christian from that time to this time, Christian. And then we'll say, revival is taking place. You come and the Lord will turn your life around. What do you mean? You think I'm not revived? Go to backsliders. Am I a prodigal son? Am I a prodigal daughter? Go to them. They never think of the poverty, the penury of their spiritual life. But it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Look at verse 4. In verse 4, blessed are they that mourn. And that's what makes a year better. That's what makes life better. There are people who attribute crying, weeping, mourning to weak people. Or they say, that man is so weak, he's crying. That woman is so weak, she's weeping. That person does not have backbone, that's why he's mourning. No, it's the blessed life that sees how down the drain you have gone. It's the blessed man that sees the littleness of your life, the littleness of your faith, and the littleness of your achievement. And you are counting years. I've been in the Lord for 10 years. I've been in the Lord for 20 years. I've been in the Lord for 30 years or more. And there's no money. You're not even saying, what kind of life is this I'm living? I'm not happy with this kind of life. And show that money and say, Lord, I cry. Why do you cry? Those who became Christians after me, born again after me, for just a few years now, I see their fire. I see their revival. I see their prayer life. I see their courage. I see their achievement. And I see what they have endured. They endure for Christ, terrible persecution. And I'm asking myself, this fellow came to the Lord 3 or 4 years ago and he's gone through all this. Do I have the courage? Do I have the backbone? Do I have the stamina to endure what this person has endured with all my years in the Christian faith? That's why we mourn. Lord, I cannot remain like this. I will not remain like this. And for you, you have not been born again. You've been going to, you know, a higher church. You've been going to a deeper church. And you've been going to a holier church. But after all these many years you've been going and you boast, you tell people, you know what? My daddy is deeper. My mommy is deeper. Talk about yourself now. There's nothing to say. That's why you mourn and you say, I was born into such a great privilege that I know the Bible from cover to cover, but God does not know me as his child. I only boast that I am of deeper life, parents, but the deeper life, pardon, deeper life, peace, deeper life, purity, deeper life, passion, I don't have. That's why we mourn. And when you mourn for your lack, you mourn for what you've not got, you're not just come to the meeting and be doing the same old, old things. That there's no money, but blessed the people who will have the blessed life in this blessed year are the people that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Look at verse 5. In verse 5, blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek. I watch people, and you see them, now they are in deeper life. And there's no meekness. They're so aggressive in their action. And I say, what is the lie? That blessed lie. Well, everybody, it's like they turn the church to the barracks. And even when they are young, young in age, young in everything, see the way they drive older people and the way they want to control everything. There's no meekness there. There's no lowliness there. And there is no humility. And when, you know, some people talk about themselves and you hear, you shake your head, this fellow needs to go back to Calvary because we need meekness. And Jesus said, I am meek and lowly. And that's why we come and we say, Lord, today I want to have the real thing. All this aggression, all this pride, all this driving. I'm not talking of driving a vehicle, I'm talking of driving people. Driving, driving, driving. You know, the blessed life is the meek life. And it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Where will you be when the saints of God are going to inherit the earth? But you are the aggressor. You are the aggressive person. You are the hard, hard person. And you are the one that says, you know, you look at me and you say I'm a woman. Don't deal with me like that, because I may be a woman on the face, in the body, but inside there's something there that is very aggressive. Sarah was not like that. And the children of God in the Bible who had the grace of God, the salvation of God, they were not like that. The blessed life is the meek life. Verse 6. In verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. What makes us leaders? Observing leaders, scriptural leaders, to weep, to cry, is that the present day Christians all over this nation, the present day Christians all over this continent, the present day believers all over the world, they do not hunger after righteousness, they hunger after riches, after prosperity, after money, after dust, after stone and cement. But the blessed life, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Again, when you thirst and you hunger after righteousness, you yearn earnestly after righteousness. You yearn earnestly. That's what makes the year new. That's what makes the year blessed. Because you yearn earnestly after righteousness, after redemption, after what Christ did on the cross of Calvary. Now, Christ did not come to make us physically, naturally rich. He came to give us righteousness. Did you hear the story he told? The field, the farm of a man produced abundantly. And then he said, I have more than enough. Even the barns will not take what I have. I know what I will do. I'll build a bigger barn and bring in stuff. And then the Lord God of heaven said, tonight your soul shall be required of you. And who shall all these things be that you have gathered up? Jesus did not tell us to run after riches, after position, after power, political power, after things of the world. But he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he said, all these things shall be added unto you. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Look at verse 7. In verse 7, blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the merciful. Oh, that's what the blessing is. For the people that do not have any pity for the weak. They do not have any pity for the timid. They do not have any pity for the fearful. Once they discover that that man there is timid, doesn't have courage. And then they watch him and they see what will intimidate him. Then while the man comes out, it's like they want him to stay indoors. Anytime he comes out, they begin to do all those things that they discovered will weaken him. There's no mercy there. There's no blessed life there. Welcome to the presence of the Lord so we can have a blessed life throughout this blessed year. And the Lord do that to your life in Jesus' name. Because you yearn earnestly after the renewal, the restoration that you say, well, I look at my life, can I say I have any mercy there? Or do I crush those who are down? Do I walk over those who are down? And of course, the unbeliever, the sinner. That's where the life of the sinner is, to trample on the people who are falling. And there's no mercy at all. They want mercy, but they will not give mercy. The blessed life is the life that realizes, oh Lord, I see my life. This is not the blessed life. Now, I yearn honestly after reconciliation with you and reconciliation with my brother, my sister that have offended. Do you know that so and so was offended by that language you spoke about him? Do you know that your wife was offended by that kind of thing you said? Offended? Well, that's her business. I am the head of the home. What I said, I said. And if she feels offended, she needs to wait for another. Because I'm still coming out with another thing. Where is the mercy on the weak, the weaker vessel? Where is the mercy on the people that need our mercy, our compassion, our love, and the need, our consideration? The blessed life is the life that is merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart. That's sanctification. And how many people today desire sanctification, purity of heart? Many people, all they want is healing. Heal me, heal me, heal me. Yes, after the healing, follow peace with all men and holiness, not healing and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You want to see the Lord, or are you just in religion? But the blessed life, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, not the troublemakers. The people who go from place to place, knocking heads together. Sinners know how to do that very well. Knocking heads together, talking to the husband about the wife, talking to the wife about the husband. You mean my husband did that? I'm telling you. You mean my wife did that? I'm telling you. And they scatter homes. The unbeliever specialize in that. Now, you must yearn for a return to God. You yearn honestly after return, returning unto God. And when that returning unto God is there, the blessed life will come, because blessed are the peacemakers. The peacemakers were ambassadors for Christ. And we tell men, be ye reconciled unto God. And Paul the apostle went on. He was the persecutor of the believers before, but now reconciling the Jews and the Gentiles to God, and the Jews and the Gentiles to one another. And that's what God makes us when we have the blessed. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now, how about the troublemakers? If the peacemakers are called the children of God, how about the people that they're perfected their maneuvering? Some people are doing something good and they want to put sand in the salt of the people, and they do some things, and those of us looking will think it's those good people that are doing this bad thing. But it's the troublemaker that is trying to put sand in everybody's salt. But you come to the Lord, you say, Lord, now I want a better life in this better year. I want a blessed life throughout this blessed year. I'll be a peacemaker. What joy do I have separating husband and wife? What joy do I have creating cleavage and creating division between parents and children? What joy do I have going about as a talebearer? And the talebearer is separating people, is knocking people down, scattering the church. The troublemakers are not living a blessed life, but blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Another choir boom, amen. And it's the kind of life the Lord is calling us to this year. And if we're going to have this blessed life in the blessed year, we must yield entirely after recognition. I recognize that this is not right. I recognize that is not good. I recognize this is not proper. And for me to have the blessed year, I yield entirely after revelation, after recognition, after rebuke, or after reproof. We'll come to point number three. Number three is a beautiful life. God will give you a beautiful life. But remember, you must come to the Lord yearning earnestly after that renewal. A beautiful life in a bountiful year. We're coming to 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm reading from verse 3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things, and all things are provided, all things are ready. The water of life is there. He has given unto us all things, but you must be thirsty for the living waters. If you are thirsty for the flood, the bad water in the gutter, and you're not thirsty for the clean water, the water of life, you will not be yearning earnestly after the refreshing. But by his divine power, he has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and to virtue. That's what he calls us to. And if our behavior, our standing, our output is not of glory, is not of virtue, we have gone outside the calling of Christ. But he calls us. He says, make this year a beautiful, bountiful year and come back. And then you say, Lord, I've seen, I've heard, I've recognized, I've realized. Now you call me to glory. You call me to virtue. Lord, I come. Look at verse 4. In verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. He has given us exceeding great and precious promises. But because we did not yearn earnestly after the receiving of those promises, the promises are just lying down there. The promise of freedom. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. But are we free? We must yearn earnestly after that freedom. It says, it's giving us those promises that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Divine nature. Divine nature. The nature in us is what propels us to do what we do. Let me explain. The nature in the fish is what makes the fish to swim. And the fish does not have to go to college and learn about all the various ways that we can swim. No, it's the nature. The nature of the bird is what makes the bird to fly. The bird does not have to come to, you know, the school, a college, university, and to learn about how to move the wings, how to fly. It's the nature. And the nature of the lion is what makes the lion so brutal. It's the nature. The nature of the goat is the nature. It's what makes that goat to be stubborn. It's the nature. The divine nature is what gives us the divine life. That we now live the life that the divine one, God, wants us to live. Whereby are giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That by these promises ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through loss. And when we come to Christ and we yearn, this is what I want. I want the divine nature. I want the divine life. And I want to walk in the way of the Lord. And we yearn earnestly after that renewal, after that redemption. It is that the Lord will see and he will give us that divine nature. Once the nature is there, we just act and we live like he wants us to live. Look at verse 5. In verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, you watch people. They do not have diligence to do what they do. They do it halfway. They're tired, and something calls them. They go to another. Hey, about this one? Well, another person will finish that. Diligence is what makes us to stay on that thing and carry it on to the logical conclusion. And the Lord says, if you are yearning honestly after this righteousness, if you're yearning earnestly after this renewal, if you're yearning earnestly after total restoration, you must be diligent about it. There are people who are praying. They are praying, you know, sometimes if you look at them, they're shaking the head and looking here and looking there and shaking the head. That's not diligence in prayer. They say they are praying and they're beating the air, but they're looking here and looking there. And when maybe a child is crossing that, get out of that place. And they're praying, they're praying. That's no diligence in prayer. Let us become people who yearn honestly after the renewal, after the revival, that we give all diligence unto your faith and virtue. Already is giving us virtue at the beginning, because he calls us to grace, he calls us to glory and to virtue. And he says, add virtue. Don't say, I have it all, I know it all, I've got it all. And to virtue, knowledge, knowledge, knowledge. It's the knowledge we have that makes us to go deeper in the Lord. And there are people that, you know, when they hear something new, maybe from me, they wonder, how is that? We don't want any new thing. What you have always said. Oh, we know Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. But he didn't know the shepherd is my Lord. And when you bring in that revelation, knowledge, you don't want that. He maketh me to lie down. He gives us peace. Our mind is fully set on him. And he gives us perfect peace. And you see, this is not a psalm for Absalom, for Adonijah, for Saul, and it is not a psalm for the prodigal son. He restoreth my soul. When you are restored, that's when that verse is, you know, fulfilled. But if they hear anything new, I've read that before, I didn't see that. And because they didn't see that before, they turn their minds away from that. We add knowledge. We add knowledge. Look at verse 6. In verse 6, unto knowledge, temperance. Temperance, self-control. And there are times things, something is happening, and something inside you wants you to jump up and go there and say, no, 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 you can't do that. And that's what we've always done. But when you have temperance, you are sitting down there and you see something and you hear something, the temperance will just cool you down and you keep on sitting down there. And God has not called you to, you know, touch everything and control everything by in any way, either with body language or strange sound or anything, but there is temperance. And these are the life that is the beautiful life. It says, unto temperance, patience. Patience. And to patience, godliness. Look at verse 7. In verse 7, unto godliness, brotherly kindness, brotherly kindness. Where is the kindness? Where is the love? Where is the compassion? People, we need to look at all this and say, Lord, I have heard the revelation of the word. And this year will be a bountiful year in Jesus' name. That means yielding entirely after repentance, after revelation. I've seen the revelation, I've heard the revelation, and now I yield entirely after that revelation. And then it says, unto brotherly kindness, charity. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, 4. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 11. In verse 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. Entrance. When you leave this earth and you go up beyond, the gate of heaven will open wide for you. And it will open so wide that you'll be free to just go in. Because it says, if these things be in you, the grace of God, the goodness of God, the glory of God, the virtue of the Lord, the vision of the Lord, and you give attention to the voice of the Lord, then you say, this is be in you. And it says, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord has revealed to us how to have a better life and a better year, how to have also a blessed life throughout this blessed year, and a beautiful life in a bountiful year. I now want to tell you that God has better things waiting for you. Yeah. All the calamities of the past year will not come to you this year. Yeah. All the things that grounded you in the past year, all those things will not ground you this year. Yeah. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Renew their strength. Renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagle. You will run, you will not be tired. You will walk, you will not be weary. The weakness will give way to the strength of the Lord. I see a bright year before you. I see a better year before you. Beautiful, bountiful year before you. But you yearn honestly after restoration. You yearn honestly after regeneration, rebirth, new life. And you say, Lord, this revelation of God, I'm not going to play with it. I yearn honestly after this revelation. It's bowed and eyes closed. It's bowed and eyes closed. The Lord has a new life waiting for you. He'll drive away your tears. He'll stop all your crying. And he'll stop all the regret in your life as you yearn honestly after repentance. You want to repent, you want to turn away from all the things that Lord has shown us, that this will make your life battered. This will make your life bad. And this will make your life unacceptable to God. And you want to be free, free from them, and totally yielded and surrendered unto them, unto the Lord. You want to raise up your hand, beautiful final day of our crusade here in a year at this time. And here is your chance. Here is your chance that you yearn earnestly after restoration, after reconciliation with the Lord. You raise up your hand, you say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. I give myself unto you. All the sins of my past life I repent of, and I come unto you. If you're raising up your hand, God bless you there. God bless you over there. God bless you over there. God bless you. You stand up now. You say, I come because I yearn earnestly after restoration, after regeneration, after reconciliation with God. I yearn earnestly after the reconciliation. When you yearn for something earnestly, nothing will slow you down. Nothing will beat your back. Nothing will stop you. Anything in your way, I've decided to follow Jesus, not turning back, not turning back. Friends may forsake me. All the same, I've decided to follow Jesus, not turning back, not turning back. People oppose me. I don't mind. I yearn earnestly after righteousness. You oppose me? No, that doesn't matter. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. You raise up your hand. You stand up. You say, Lord, I come. Lord, I come. Lord, I come. When that is earnest, and nothing will stop you, that regeneration, rebirth, salvation will come. Restoration into the grace of God. Recovery from the far country. All that will come. And he gives you the new life. Keep on standing. We're praying together. Tell the Lord right there, Lord, I come. Lord, I come. Lord, I come. And I will not go back to my vomit anymore. Father, I thank you for these who are responding because they yearn earnestly after the rebirth. Honestly, they yearn after the reconciliation with you. And they yield entirely, totally, completely in repentance. And they have faith in the Lord Jesus, that only Jesus can set them free. Only Jesus can forgive them. Only Jesus can give them the salvation, a new life. And I pray, Lord, you do it for every one of them right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Forgive them, Lord. Set them free. Grant them the grace to go and live in newness of life in Jesus' name. And I pray that the power of your redemptive work at Calvary will manifest in every life, so that now they are born again, they are saved, they're made righteous in Christ, and the grace to live uprightly you grant to everyone. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. In Jesus' name we pray. Akwaebom, amen. Our counselors are there. And those counselors will help you. They'll get the details from you. The details they ask. You're faithful and forthright and honest to give them those details so that we can follow up on you. That after you have yearned earnestly, after the rebirth, now you yield entirely after your repentance. Our officiating minister will help us now.
Put your hands together for Jesus. Praise the Lord. Our counselors, please get to all the hands that were lifted up. And make sure that if you lifted up your hand, you make the counselors to see you now. Our counselors, please. The decision slip is better you fill it in capital letters, that is in uppercase. Make sure you give them your correct address, your correct name, and then your cell phone number, please. If possible, indicate the popular spots around where you dwell, where you live, where you reside. So please, this is to help us to help you more. So please, if you have made the decision tonight to give your life to Jesus and you heard the message, yearning earnestly after repentance, after revelation, after restoration, please, you do the right thing now. That shows you have decided to follow Jesus. That's the best thing that can happen to any mortal. You becoming a child of God, becoming a temple where Christ dwells. So please, it's a wonderful privilege you've had tonight by this decision you've made. So please, let the counselors see you. Our counselors, please, make sure no one that has made this decision this evening is left out. All over the place, by my right, far behind, at the back, in the center, please make sure you get across to all of them. And even at the overflow, there in the hall there, please, our counselors, get there. Wherever people made the indication of giving a life to Christ, please, we help them. And if no counselor has come to you, please keep your hand up so that they can locate you. Because you've taken the most important step in life. You've made the best decision ever. You can now stand anywhere. And so I'm a child of God, and the devil cannot contest that. You will stand strong, and you say, Satan, shut up. And we have no option than to obey, because now you're a child of God. Christ indwells you. So please, make sure you're not left out by the counselors. So our counselors, as fast as you can, so that we can get through with this. And when Papa comes to give us the final prayer and blessing tonight. So please, everywhere, locate all those that have made the decision tonight. And for those of us who have made the decision, today there was a special program, a lunch hour with Jesus. It was held here today. Then the next one will be on February 8th. That's exactly next Sunday. For here in New York, it will be at IBB Avenue, where we have our Deeper Life Bible Church. So please, the time is 3 p.m. next Sunday at Deeper Life Bible Church, IBB Avenue, here in the city of Uyo. Please make sure you're there then. It's going to be online too, to our online brothers and sisters who have made the decision to give their lives to Christ. You'll be reached online the same February 8th in our various places where we have connected to the GCK here. You are going to be helped at those various locations. And those of us who may not be near, you go to the link. You click to the link, gckheadquarters.org, connect. Definitely, when you click and fill the form, you get connected and you get the details. So please, if you made the decision after listening to the program here tonight or since we started, you can send a WhatsApp message indicating your number and your location to a WhatsApp number here. I will call this so that you can also be connected and help further. +2 3 4 9 1 5 4 4 4 9 2 6 3. Let me repeat. You can send feedback to this number, +2 3 4 9 1 5 4 4 4 that is 4 4 4 9 2 6 3, to make sure you are connected and follow the online launch hour with Jesus on 8th of February. That's exactly next Sunday. Our counselors, we're waiting for you. Please, at my right hand, if we are done, please indicate. In the middle here, if we are done, please indicate by waving your hand at me. All right? At the right hand here, my right hand at the back of the right side here, please. If we are done with the counselees there, can we indicate by waving up? All right. In the middle row here, second middle row here, please. Our counselors, are we there? At the far back. Can we indicate by waving our hands? Thank you. What about my left side here, please? Counselors, are we done with them? This side, are we done with them? All right. Our counselors at the extreme back, left side. We are done. Praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. This is the grand finale. You will take from the bottom pot. Our Father in the Lord is coming. Believe every declaration he makes. There'll be confirmation in your life. You're welcome, sir.
Thank you. Amen, amen. Amen. Final day. You will not miss your healing. Amen. You will not miss the miracle. Amen. Whatsoever it is you need, the Lord is bringing to you right now. Amen. All those people who have testified, they're just like you. You are just like them. They manifested faith. They accepted, just like you accept. It was done for them, and it's going to be done for you. You lay your hand where you have the challenge. You raise up the other hand. The Lord has seen you where you are. He'll dry up your tears. He's ready. Heaven is ready. I'm sure you are ready. Father, in Jesus' name, we'll bless you because you are a God who will not fail. And you are promised you are going to fulfill the promise you have given to us as individuals. All together, you are going to do wonders, healing, deliverance in every life in Jesus' name. Jesus, we know for a fact that you are here because you said what you are three. I gathered in your name, you are there in our midst. And you are by the side of everyone that has any pain, any sickness. And you have compassion, love, mercy for everyone. We're asking, Lord, you heal the sick in Jesus' name. Long-standing mountains of problems roll away in Jesus' name. Everything that your people have asked, that they are asking, that they desire, grant unto them. Pain, vanish away. Long-standing sickness, vanish away. Elephantiasis, big legs, vanish away. Short leg, grow out right now. Hearing problem, vanish away. Sight problem, vanish away. Brain problem, vanish away. Demonic attack, demonic affliction, vanish away. All the works of the devil, I command you, vanish away in Jesus' name. Cancer, vanish away. Ulcer, vanish away. HIV, AIDS, vanish away. Venereal disease, vanish away. Wet in the bed at night, vanish away. Sugar in the blood, vanish away. Hypertension, vanish away. Hearing sound in the ear, vanish away. And Lord, I pray that pile, vanish away. Skin disease, vanish away. Everyone, everywhere, the Lord is touching you right now. You are healed. You are delivered. You conquer every power, every force against your life, your strength, in Jesus' name. Strength for the future. Provision for the future. Resources for the future. Grant to everyone. Make their lives better life. Happy life. Healthy life. Boundless life. And I pray that everyone without exception, you have a miracle, a blessing, a healing, a deliverance given unto you. And the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. In Jesus' name we pray.